You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And it's a beautiful morning today. I hope everyone is up and bushy-tailed and ready to go. And if you're wondering how I'm coping with the Cub loss over the past weekend, well, know that I'm doing well. And this is what I do every year when I transition over to the Chicago Bears. Go Bears! I probably can get a lot more agreement on the Bears than the Cubs. You know, we're not divided. So we got one football team, and we've got a pretty good football team. So I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about the guests that I have on this morning. And I am with Friars Jason Damon and Steve Kuhn.
Keen. Yeah, no worries.
God, it got me, Keen. It got me. But anyway, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you as well. You have helped out with me, Jason, over at Hell's Franciscan this year, teaching religion.
Mm. Yeah, it's been fun.
And Steve, you did this last year.
Last year, that's right.
And so I'm honored to be in your presence, knowing that those guys really love you, man. You know, seeing you come in and visit the classroom last week was...
Yeah, they light up when you come back. Yeah. They do.
Well, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I don't know if I'm in the right place.
I walk into the room and they all just look down at the desks, but Steve walks into the room and they jump right up. And
I thought he was Christ. He was actually walking on water when he walked in, and it was like, But thank you all for getting up early and joining us this morning. Jason, I'm going to ask you first. No, let me ask Steve first, because I'm going to ask you both the same question, but... What was the process that brought you here? I mean, as a friar, what made you decide to do this?
Yeah, goodness, we could probably spend hours on this alone. But the quick skinny of it is I was in the Navy, serving in the Navy for about 12 years, stationed out in San Diego. And I just felt, I don't know how else to describe it, but just a call from within. I started going to church more, daily mass, praying the rosary, reading the Bible, community service, just all those things, and just kind of looking at my life, seeing where it was going. The relationship I was in at the time with this girl kind of faded. It wasn't working out. And I found the Friars through through a YouTube channel, Casey Cole, one of our brother Friars. And anyone listening, check out his channel, Breaking into Habits. Pretty good stuff. I just felt that call, that connection. I was looking for answers, you know, where am I supposed to be going? And that really gave me life and energy. So, and that was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
That's awesome, Steve.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I see you're wearing a Chicago Bear hat.
You know, I'm from Maryland, so the Redskins are actually my team, but, you know, I'm trying to embrace the local culture, you know, so... Yeah.
Well, you're doing the right thing.
I don't
think guys would mess with you if you're wearing the bear hat. And so, Jason, for you, the same question.
Yeah. And this is really one of the beautiful things about living in community, living religious life, is the various backgrounds that we have. And for me, especially compared to Steve, is like the path is so much different, but we're both here, right? Mm-hmm. And like it's really kind of beautiful to see the fraternity. But for me, I went to St. Bonaventure University, I'm from Buffalo originally, so got to give a shout out to the Bills. They won this past weekend. I was pretty happy about that. It was an ugly win, but win's a win.
Yeah.
So, and they're rare to come by for the Bills, so I got to celebrate where I can. But for me, I'm from Buffalo. I went to St. Bonaventure University, which is about an hour and a half south of Buffalo. It was founded by the Friars. That's where I kind of first met the Friars. I had no conception of what they were beforehand. You know, I came from a pretty religious family, pretty devout family. We went to Mass every week. We were paying attention to, you know, feast days and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I went to college and I saw the Friars for the first time, I think I was kind of surprised by how attracted I was to them. Mm. And it was really kind of almost intimidating, because I had no conception of what these guys were, but I saw them, I got to know them, I got to eat dinner with them, and they invited me over for prayer, and I was really kind of pulled in really quickly. Mm. And I think part of me was really intimidated by that, and I sort of said, oh no, you know, I don't know about this, you know, and I sort of felt this pull into it.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, you know, could I? And I remember very distinctly watching a Friar walk across campus at one point. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, man, I could see myself doing that. Mm-hmm. And right away, I was like, oh no. You know, I was like, what am I thinking? Other people do that. I don't do that.
Right.
You know, so for me, I sort of spent the better part. I tell people I spent the better part of 4 years trying to run away from it during my undergrad years. Something kept pulling me back. Mm. And I think for me, faith life in particular, faith went from something you do. You know, you go to Mass on Sundays, you pray, you be good to people, and you know, that kind of a very surface level. And it became something. It went from something you do to something that you are. And so at college, I became very involved in campus ministry. I became very involved in service works, whatnot. And so I guess from a certain perspective, joining the Friars, or being attracted to the Friars at least, was a somewhat natural progression. And eventually after graduating, I still kind of went back and forth on it. You know, there's times where I was like, oh no, I'm not holy enough, or I can't do this, or I don't know what I want, or stuff like that. And I finally kind of came to this point where I said, you know, if I join the Friars and I decide that's for me, then great. Like, I've found what I'm called to do, mm-hmm. you know, all this stuff. Mm. If I join the Friars and, you know, eventually leave, because it's not like you join the Friars and they throw a habit on you and they're like, all right, get out there. You know, like, there's this process. You know, and if I decide to leave during that process, well, then hopefully I've walked out of formation a better man than when I walked in. Mm. And so I think that's what sort of gave me the initial kind of, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And mm-hmm. so that's sort of,
you couldn't lose.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. You know, and that was getting to a point where being able to trust the Holy Spirit and sort of say, okay, you know, this is something that I feel comfortable with. That was a process for me to be able to sort of fully trust and sort of say, okay, I'm going to be where I need to be. But eventually I think I was able to do that, at least joining, and there's still times, you know, even now today, where I'm like, you know, what am I doing here?
I understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if I go that far, but there are times where you question or, you know, your past calls you back. I think everyone probably deals with that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a scripture that says you're in it, but you're not of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're always going to be taunted, or you're going to be tempted. Mm-hmm. You're going to be dealing with those feelings, those emotions. And I think that's purely human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we all go through that. You know, but you said something earlier, too, about the camaraderie. Of the Friars and everything. And, of course, I had the opportunity to have dinner with you guys.
I think it was about a week ago or so, right? Yeah, it was about there.
Mm-hmm. And that was a good time. And I can see how that fraternity pulls you in.
Yeah.
Because you guys had a good time, and I love that evening spent with you. Mm. You know, you had prayer prior to, and then you sat down at the dinner table. Mm. You had some conversation, and then you had prayer as you ended, and then guys kind of went their own way. But what a beautiful place you have there in Hyde Park.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a real blessing to be there, and it's a great neighborhood, and it's close to a lot of places where we minister. So it's funny. Again, Friars are kind of such an eclectic group, really, when it kind of comes to it, is we have very different personalities, very different interests, but to have that commonality, to get together, to pray, to have that fraternal witness, to understand, and then go out to ministries that, you know, I think a lot of us feel called to different things. And that's great. And that's a gift that you bring to the Friars. And so to kind of go out from there, and Hyde Park, of course, being a great location for a lot of ministerial opportunities close by, including both of us being involved at, you know, House Franciscan.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return after this break. Mm-hmm.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
We have coverage of the bishop's ordination, including photographs that walk you through highlights from Holy Name Cathedral. We have a preview of the upcoming Renew My Church Summit and its focus on evangelizing outside our church communities. And Cardinal Supich stresses the need for church leadership to do all it can to protect young people from abuse.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative, and I have with me Jason Damon, Friar Jason Damon, as well as Steve King, who is also a friar, Franciscan friars at that. Gentlemen, before we left off the show, we were talking about Hales Franciscan and the activities that you do there, but before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit more about your vows and what you guys have committed to, and give the audience a little bit more understanding of, you know, who we're talking to.
Sure. Yeah. So we take both Jason and myself are in simple vows. So that means our vows basically last 1 year, and we do that for about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, renewing them each year. And then if we still feel called to this life and the order also feels the same way, we'll profess solemn vows, God willing. So those vows are poverty, chastity, obedience, and I mean, really, instead of getting into too great detail of each vow, you know, we're really just dedicating our lives to God, to the church, to the brotherhood, to the service of humanity, and you know, and also at the same time discerning where God might be calling us in our lives. And as Franciscans, I think, and perhaps each person might discern their call a little bit differently, but we do tend to have a call towards the poor, to the marginalized, to those who might be left out of society. And that goes back to Francis really tending to the lepers in Assisi back in Italy. So our call really is to look out to, you know, who are those people on the fringes of society, not just the Catholic Church, but all of humanity, and to reach out to those people.
You know, I noticed as we were walking to the Archdiocese building here, that people were moving out of your way. They were like, you know, bowing down. Well, they weren't doing all of that. But you, because of your, you know, your attire, it's obvious that you're, you know, you're different from the rest of society. And you get a lot of attention.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's basically a kind of a medieval way of dressing. And Francis actually initially dressed like this because this is what the poor wore. And so this was a way, and Steve put it really well, the Franciscan charism, I think, at least for a lot of us as we live it out, really centers around serving the poor and the marginalized. And again, that's where this habit kind of developed out of, was this is what the poor working class would wear.
Okay.
So to never lose kind of touch with that, I think, is very important for us, you know, as an order. But it is funny, you know, it definitely sticks out. And last year I lived in Santa Barbara, California, for what we would call the novitiate year. So the novitiate year is a year that canonically all religious go through. And then afterwards you take your first of simple vows, like Steve was talking about. But but man, being at a mission and wearing a habit, you're like a Disneyland character. Like you're like some people would come up to me and ask, like, are you real? Like, are you, you know, like they would ask me like all these questions,
right?
You know, or they would see me like on a cell phone or doing kind of normal stuff. Or one time I was walking around with a baseball hat, repping St. Bonaventure, and somebody asked me, they're just like, are you allowed to wear a baseball hat, you know, as a religious? So it's kind of funny. Like, people have so many conceptions of what religious life is like or whatnot. So, but yeah, the uniform, the habit definitely sticks out.
And the uniform or the habit that you're talking about is one thing, but you really do live to your vows. And what is it that you do that you find yourselves most grateful for?
I mean, for me, I think, you know, my whole life, honestly, I always saw myself, and I always saw marriage, I guess, in the future. So the vows for me growing up always was vows to a wife and a family and perhaps children. So I guess vows have always been significant in my life. And, you know, so this is, of course, this is vows in a similar sense, but a slightly different context in that you're, you know, you're really offering yourself to the, and I mean, this sounds pretty idealistic and I'm not perfect, but the idea is we're really offering ourselves to humanity, to God, to our brothers and sisters. And, you know, we're not perfect in doing that, but, by not necessarily having a wife and children, I'm able to offer myself to my brothers, to different ministries, and try to be more available to help people as much as I can, and to accept help when I need it too, because I need a lot. So, but you know, so the vows, I guess, can be freeing in that sense you know, you're not vowed necessarily as in marriage to one person, but to a community, to a brotherhood, to humanity, to your brothers and sisters that you meet on a daily basis.
I think, Steve, you kind of explained it the way Paul would. You know, Paul said, though, that if it was possible, he would prefer that we remain unmarried, if you will. And if necessary, marry so that you can, you know, have sexual intercourse, I guess, if you were interested in having intercourse, have it within a marriage. But it was his preference that if you wanted to give your life to Christ, that you would give it in a way that would be purely for Christ. And a marriage, as we know, too, even though that's a wonderful vow, you do have some influences from your wife or your spouse, whoever is the ordained person in that marriage. The other, you know, will from time to time cause conflict. And, of course, being a deacon, I experience that myself sometimes. But that comes with it.
Yeah.
And yet it lends to a distraction every now and then as well. So it's sort of a tough balancing act sometimes. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I think a lot of people might have this conception of they hear vows and it becomes almost kind of a juridical sense, right? Like this thing that you have to, this rule that you have to follow. And I think, Steve, you elucidated so beautifully. It's really, it has to be fundamentally about relationships, whether those are marriage vows or religious vows. And I think outside of relationship, then it's meaningless. You know, it really doesn't have much weight at all. Or you know, if you're living your life like you have to live within constraints of this juridical kind of framework, to me that's not life giving. And you know, Christ gives us life, and life in Christ should be really, you know, energizing and exciting. And so for me, I think the vows more than anything represent this opportunity to form deep relationships with our brothers, with like Steve said, the rest of humanity, with those that we serve, that we try to give ourselves entirely to.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about what are your activities and things that you do at Hales Franciscan.
Awesome.
Cool.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to a screening of a Holocaust denial film and the discussion that followed. We'll take you to a sunrise prayer service on Chicago's lakefront. And we'll show you how a Catholic elementary school found a unique way to ring in the new school year.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100. Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Cupich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common. A Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good. And I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Okay, we're back with Jason and Steve, friars with the Franciscan community. Jason, you have been working alongside of me in theology class with the freshmen and sophomores at Hales High School. What has been your biggest, say, surprise or even challenge that you've had thus far?
Yeah, and it's been a real, I think, joy just overall to, you know, to walk in there and to be with the kids and they're great students. They're great young men and really to be there, because I know how powerful education can be, right? And I think that's just, it's an incredible grace to be walking with these young men at this point in their lives. For me, one of the biggest challenges is sort of, I think, And I guess this is not only a challenge at Hales, but just in general, you know, life in general, is sort of getting out of my own way and letting sort of the Holy Spirit work, letting things happen, understanding that, you know.
I think that's the best answer you could have given, to be honest with you.
I got an A.
You did.
Professor hey, Deacon.
It's over. And the reason why I say that, Jason, I'm going to let you continue is because, you know, you could never make a more pointed remark. I think as adults, one of the problems we have is we think we know it all.
Absolutely.
But we're so far removed from being teenagers ourselves, and the world has changed so much. The perceptions, the way we communicate, all these things. And yet, you know, some of the things that we would like to share with our young, quite frankly, have been outdated. And by you recognizing the fact that maybe if I just move myself out of the way, let the Holy Spirit work and let these kids teach me sort of a different way of looking at it, you learn a lot more that way if you just shut your mouth and listen.
Right. And I think a lot of it goes back to this Franciscan understanding of, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, you are up here and then the poor are over there, yeah. right? Or those that you're serving or the marginalized mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Very much a Franciscan charism to understand that, look, I need to find a way to identify with these mm-hmm. individuals that I'm serving, this community that I'm serving. And to do that, to be a true servant, you know, to those individuals. And so what do they need? Am I responsive to their needs, or am I trying to impose my own sort of ideas and understanding and whatnot on them? And to, again, yeah, kind of get out of your way and understand that, look, these individuals have their own needs and their own insights and whatnot, and let those come through.
And I think we're seeing that. I think we were talking earlier how we're beginning to see more and more mm-hmm. participation, mm-hmm. articulation of their mm-hmm. own faith and so mm-hmm. forth, mm-hmm. understanding of the Bible itself. Mm-hmm. And now we just celebrated the Feast of St. Francis. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jason, you prepared them for mm-hmm. that feast in terms of what to expect at the Mass and mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. there at St. Peter's. And yet, Steve, you accompanied them.
That's right.
What was your experience in that?
You know, yeah, so this is, I did it last year with the group that came up for the Feast of St. Francis, and then so this being the second year, and it's really a special time. I mean, the day is special for us being Franciscan, and, you know, leading up to it the night before, I don't know, it feels almost like a Christmas Eve feel. There's like an an excitement for that day that's just like, I can just feel it inside of me, and, you know, so be able to share that with the community at Hales and have those guys come up. And, you know, I was grateful that the presider that day really recognized them during the Mass.
Me too.
And I was like, you know, these boys are, you know, they're taking time out of their day just to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was just grateful for that, for them to be there, for them to share in that moment. And there was a good meal afterwards. So
yes, it was.
Yeah. Always,
you can count on that with Franciscans. Yes, yeah. There's always going to be food.
Yeah.
But it's good, too, because I think a lot of the students might not necessarily come from a Catholic background.
Mm. Correct.
And and we're not necessarily there to sort of push anything on them or try to force convert them or anything like that. It's sort of, okay, well, this is sort of our understanding. What's your understanding, and how do we fit in that? How do we kind of walk this journey together? And this is sort of how I see things, and this is how, you know, as a church, we might interpret this or that.
So Jason, we have about 2 minutes or so left. What are your expectations, hopes, aspirations for these guys?
I think more than anything is, and I think, and again, I can't emphasize enough how much I think that I'm seeing this already and how privileged I am to be in that position. Mm. But my hope more than anything is that these young men grow up with an understanding of, look, I'm connected to my community. I'm connected to the greater world, and I have a responsibility. Mm. And so how do I play that out? How do I live that out? Not just once in a while, but every day. Mm-hmm. Understand that there's things expected of me. There's responsibilities, and fortunately, we have Christ walking beside us every second of that.
Amen.
And so to have that, I think more than anything, for the students to sort of see that develop, to see young men with a social consciousness develop, I think more than anything that would be wonderful.
Amen. And I agree to that. Now, with a minute left, we have some community service hours mm-hmm. that we're committed yes. to helping those gentlemen
right.
obtain.
Mm-hmm.
Is our can our audience help out in any kind of way, the ones that are listening to us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and any, maybe even people have ideas that, hey, you know, I think high school students would really be plugged into this or that or the other thing. And if you do, great, you know, contact us somehow, find a way to let us know. But I think one of the big ones is Franciscan Outreach. The friars in this area have a really big social outreach program.
Oh, they do. They have a wonderful program organization.
Yeah, and helping the homeless. And Steve actually volunteers a couple times. He ministers a couple times a week at the Marquard Center. So,
okay.
So things like that, always looking for volunteers.
So if you're listening, and hopefully you've been blessed by this conversation, reach out to us at Hales Franciscan High School and let us know how you would like to help. We certainly would like to have you on board. I want to bless you guys and thank you for coming on.
Thanks
and
for having
I
us.
Pray that God continues to bless you and lead you and guide you and utilize your gifts for the reasons He put them inside of you. Mm-hmm. And amen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling.